Let's open our Bibles, if you can find them from where you are. Let's do that countdown again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, now that you're seated, let's stand. Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In the second year of King Darius, but we're in Wisconsin, so for me it's Darius. In the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, The time has not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Praise God. You may be seated. I want to talk this evening about God's audibles. God's audibles. Now, I'm going to have to take a few minutes. How many of you know what an audible is? The majority of the men in the audience. An audible, I'm going to use a football analogy tonight, and I know for some people that's not a comfortable thing, but I'm going to take a minute and explain how it works, what an audible is, because it's important to the meaning of the message. So, an audible is a football term that speaks of a play that the quarterback or another player calls at the line of scrimmage. And it's a different play than the one that was called in the huddle. Now, if you know anything about football, you know that they have a whole set of plays that's called the playbook that everybody has to study and memorize. So each play has a place for each of the 11 players to stand. They're supposed to stand in a specific spot according to that play. Each play has a name. It's named for its formation, depending on where the people stand. And they practice these plays all spring, all summer, and into the fall, so that when the quarterback gathers around. Who wants to huddle up with me? Brother John, we've been in a huddle before. Come on up. Brother Dennis, come on up. We're going to have a huddle. Come on up. And then Brother Larry, huddle up, huddle up! Wildcat X, 27 on 3. Ready? Break! All right, that's our huddle. I just called the play. And when I give that name and that number, everybody on the team knows where they're supposed to go, and they know what they're supposed to do. And when I said on three, that means when I say hut one, hut two, hut three, then the center gives the quarterback the ball, and everybody goes where they're supposed to go. All 11 players have a responsibility, and they go to a certain place. And they have these plays all memorized, and some playbooks are more complicated than others. But in order to get by in the pros, you have to learn the plays. And that's a problem with some of the outstanding players from college. they're sometimes playing on teams that don't have very difficult playbooks, and then they get into the pros and they don't do so well because now they have to actually study their plays. That's really not really important. But anyway, an audible is when the quarterback changes the play. They come up to the line of scrimmage and everybody gets in the place that they know they're supposed to be, and the quarterback looks at the other team and he sees that the defense, the 11 guys on the other team, they're standing in a place that's going to make it very hard for this play to be successful. And the player, so the quarterback, with his experience and his knowledge, understands this play is not going to work. I have to call a different play. And they have a certain number of plays, maybe 5, maybe 10, depending on the offense, that are audibles. That at the line of scrimmage, everybody's in their place, the quarterback can change a play. So now it's Cougar 35. And everybody knows what that means. And all the other players, the running back and the wide receiver, move to a different position. And then they snap the ball and they do a different play. That's called an audible. All right. Let's play football. Mike Holmgren used to script like the first 20 plays in a game, sometimes more, sometimes less, for the Packers. The Green Bay Packers, when they were with Brett Favre as a quarterback, and they were in the huddle, they called the play. And that was always an issue for Holmgren, was people not following through on the play that he called. He didn't like it unless he had confidence in the person at the line who was calling an audible. In our text that we read here, the Bible says that the Lord said to the people who had an idea. The people said, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. But if you look at the context of this passage, you see that in fact, God had already given Israel instruction. He had already given provision. He had already given them the command to build the house of the Lord. But for some reason, the leaders and the people of Israel, they came to the line of scrimmage, and they looked around, and they looked at their houses, and they looked at the neighborhood, and they said, we're going to call an audible. It's not time to build the house of the Lord. And they went home. Our playbook, they were using a different playbook than what God had given them. Israel had been operating a certain way for so long, they forgot what it was like to be obedient to the word of the Lord. They said, certain things have to happen before we're ready to build. We want certain things to be certain ways. But God said this, look at your own lives. He said, you're failing in everything you do. You're not able to clothe yourself. You're not able to feed yourself. You're planting and your harvest is not sufficient. Do you think there's a connection between the status and the way your life is going and your disobedience to my word? Stick to the playbook. Habakkuk 1:12 says, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, along with the whole remnant of the people, obeyed the Lord their God. They responded favorably to the message of the prophet Haggai, who spoke just as the Lord their God had instructed them. And the people began to respect the Lord. Now, if anybody, I know this is a lot of football, but this is my analogy tonight, so you're going to have to live with it. How many of you remember who Mike Holmgren is? Yeah, look at that. Mike Holmgren had this habit of, when he was upset, everybody in the stadium knew that Mike Holmgren was upset because he was a big guy and he had kind of a huge head, and it would get so red you could see it from the stands. And he would get, I remember one time Bill Schrader was a wide receiver for the Packers, and he walked up to Bill Schrader and grabbed him by the shirt front and pulled him right up close to him. And his face was bright red, and he gave him a shove, and that's all the sports people talked about the whole week, was how Bill Schrader made Holmgren mad. And the thing was, he had Brett Favre. And if you know anything about Brett Favre, he's kind of a freewheeler. And he didn't dare grab Brett Favre by the shirt and shake him like that. So what he would do is he just, you could see the steam coming out of his ears. But he was the head coach. And he had a right to be upset if they weren't following the plays that he called. And a funny thing happened when they started buying into his program. They started winning football games. Israel, when they obeyed the word of God, things began to work in their favor. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, verse 13, spoke the Lord's announcement to the people, and he said, "I am with you, decrees the Lord." So the Lord energized and encouraged Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the high priest, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and the whole remnant of the people. They came and worked on the temple of their God, the Lord of heaven's armies. Praise God. You know, if you're struggling to make ends meet, if you're struggling to find a purpose to live, if you're struggling to do what you know is the right thing, just get off the couch and start doing it. And suddenly, the blessings of God will work in your life, and the Word of God will start supporting you, and you will find that you have the will and the desire to do the things that God's called you to do. Praise God. Amen. Israel said, "The time is not right." Sometimes we think we know what's going on in our life. Sometimes we think we have the best insight that anyone could have. But in fact, God has a much broader perspective. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's before you. He knows what's behind you. He knows what's right there with you. And he has a plan. His playbook is not based on our understanding. He knows the end from the beginning. Sometimes we think we know what's going on in our life, but only God really understands. And sometimes we feel like God's making too great a demand, or our ministry is requiring too much, or it's too hard to live for God. But in fact, if we will take the steps, the Bible says the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, one step at a time. If I'm obedient today, I can be obedient tomorrow. If I'm obedient this hour, I can be obedient the next hour. And day by day by day, if I follow God's will and his plan, I will find that I will be blessed and successful in doing his will. Praise God. God, your revival plans, they don't fit into my schedule. Busy man. Praise God. You know, God, I'd love to win souls, but I'm struggling to pay my bills. I'd love to attend church regularly, but I have to work overtime so I can take a vacation. I'd really like to help out in Sunday school, but my hands are full just getting my own kids to church. We may feel like we're not ready. We may feel like this is not the time to build the house of God. You may feel like there's just too many things going on in your life. But if you will seek the mind of God, if you will seek the will of God, and you will take that first step and that second step and follow the word of God, you'll find that you will have more than what you had to begin with. We may feel like we're not ready. The time is not right, Israel said. Oftentimes we feel like we don't have what it takes. I'd really like to do that, but I don't know that I'm that talented. I don't know that I know enough of the Bible. I don't know that I will do so well standing in front of people. But, you know, if God is calling you to it, then he will empower you to do it. I don't know that the church is ever going to have revival like we think. There are so few apostolics, and there are so many souls. My workplace is impossible to witness in. I'm the only member of my family that's saved. We can find a lot of reasons to explain why we're not willing to serve God, why we're not willing to answer the call on our lives. But there's not one that will stand in the end when God calls us. The Bible says that God's word will not return void, but it will accomplish that wherewith it is sent. Praise God. Let me explain something, and I'm sure you are aware of this, but when we say God's word will not return void, we're not just talking about the written words on the page. We're talking about that nudge, that tweak, that stir, that poke in your heart that the Holy Ghost does when the word of God is being spoken, or when you're praying, or someone is witnessing to you, and God touches you and moves your spirit, and you recognize that something just happened there. God spoke. That's the word of God. That's God speaking to your spirit. That's God nudging you, calling you. And sometimes it just starts out as like a tap on the shoulder, but it becomes more insistent. Unless, of course, we dull it and turn it off and walk away from it, which is the worst thing we can do. But I feel in my heart tonight that there are some of us here that you're maybe afraid that you will fail in your desire to do the thing that you feel God has put on your heart. Maybe you feel like it will be too great a sacrifice, or somebody else will laugh at you. They'll think, you're going to do that? Don't worry about that. If you feel the word of God speaking to you, if God is calling you, if the power of the Holy Ghost is moving you to get involved in ministry, then God will empower you to do the thing he's calling you to. Praise God. There's no better choice you can make. Praise God. His word will not return void. It will affect you. Once you have heard God's word, once you have felt that nudge, that pull, that prick in your heart, once you have felt that, you can't ignore it. You can pretend it wasn't there, but it will affect you. If you respond positively, you will find God's anointing and strength. But if you reject it, it's going to have a negative effect on your spirit. We never encounter the presence of God. We never encounter the word of God and come away unchanged. When God calls the play, he's already provided everything we need to succeed. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. With God, the Bible says, all things are possible. Hallelujah. In 1995, the Green Bay Packers were rising to the top of the league. Brett Favre was already a league MVP, and Reggie White was getting old, but he was still a very intimidating presence on the field. I'm reading from a blog. We were expecting big things from the Pack that year, and they did not disappoint, winning their division and going all the way to the NFC Championship game. But Minnesota was still a difficult place to play. Ooh. The dome was loud, and the fans were wild for the border war between these two longtime rivals. The game was close, and it was rough. Brett Favre was injured with a badly twisted ankle. And the backup quarterback, Ty Detmer, had to take over. He was an accomplished professional quarterback in his own right, but very soon he went down with a broken finger. I asked my friend, by the way, who is our third string quarterback? And T.J. Rubley came out onto the field. With less than a minute to go, the Packers had the ball on the 38-yard line. It would have been a 55-yard field goal, and that would have been a stretch. But still, it was an indoor game, and the conditions might have warranted it. And there was still time to get even closer. Third down and one. All they had to do was get 1 yard, and they could hold the ball longer and move closer for a field goal. And Coach Holmgren called a quarterback sneak. That means the quarterback gets the ball and just dives forward to get that 1 yard. Quarterback sneak. But the Green Bay Packer, third-string quarterback, let me explain something about third-string quarterbacks. When the team practices, they do the same plays over and over and over again, and especially when it's a week during the season, they have a certain, they don't use all of the plays that they've learned. They use a certain group of plays that apply it for this game. And they run those plays and run those plays and run those plays all week long and practice so that everybody knows where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. Kind of like choir practice, only a little more physical. But the starting quarterback, let's say they have 20 repetitions. They do 20 plays in a certain amount of time. Well, out of those 20 plays, the starting quarterback is probably going to do 12, 15 of those reps. And the second string quarterback might do 3. Let me see now. 15 plus 3 is 8. That's 2 reps for the third string quarterback. Maybe 1. So when T.J. Rubley gets in the game with 3rd and 1 in the fourth quarter, and Mike Holmgren says quarterback sneak, guess what T.J. Rubley is supposed to do? Quarterback sneak. Because T.J. Rubley doesn't have that much practice. T.J. Rubley had other ideas. He changed the play to a pass. One of the Packer linemen stood up to try and call a timeout, knowing this was a very bad idea. But they snapped the ball anyway, and the line was totally unprepared. The Vikings crashed in on Rubley, who rolled out. That means he ran out to the side and tried to escape. He already blundered by changing the play. Now instead of throwing the ball away where no one could catch it, he threw an interception. The Vikings cashed in on the Vikings returned the quarterback, the interception, past the 50-yard line, kicked the last-second field goal to win. And the Packers lost the division championship. See, when we don't have the information that God has, it's a really bad idea to call an audible. If you think it's time to call an audible in your life, you better make sure that God is in it. The Bible says that His word is forever settled in heaven. Okay, now there are a lot of things that we have to make decisions about every day. But there are also very many things in the scripture that are already determined what's right and what's wrong. We don't ever get to call an audible on doctrine. We don't ever get to call an audible on sin. Sin is sin. Truth is truth. God is God. Stick to the game plan. There are no situational ethics with God. The Bible says that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So if you're tempted, let's say, to, and I hope nobody's doing this because I'm not talking about anybody's situation. If you're tempted to move to Minnesota next week, is there anyone moving to Minnesota? Okay, good, I'm safe. You better check with your counselors. You better pray about it. you need to submit it to God. Oh, but I'll get a raise. Well, that's not always the standard you want to judge things by. Is there a church where you're moving to? Is there a ministry where you're going? Is there support there that you can rely on when you need help? There's a whole lot of things. Is there a ministry here that God wants you to stay with? In a multitude of counselors. Don't be calling an audible without checking. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Amen. About 7 weeks later, after this original prophecy by Haggai, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the Lord's message came through the prophet Haggai again. And it said, ask the following questions to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the remnant of the people. Who among you survivors saw the former splendor of this temple? How does it look to you now? Isn't it nothing by comparison? Pastor Roy just preached about this word not too long ago. Comparison. Sometimes we look at where we're at and we compare it to the other person and we become disheartened because I'm not as far ahead as that person is. I haven't accomplished what that person has. Or we have an idea in our mind. We have an ideal in our mind of this is what it should be like and I'm not there. It's not there. Nothing's happening like it's supposed to. God doesn't call us to compare ourselves to anyone else but to His will and to His word. The game plan for a professional football team, it changes in the course of the game. It's designed to wear the other team down. And even though it doesn't look like you're doing very well, in fact, the other team, the Wisconsin Badgers used to play this kind of football. They had linemen that were as big as the drum cage. In the first part of the game, it just seemed like the running backs would not get anywhere at 1 yard, 2 yards, 3 yards, 1 yard, 2 yard, 3 yard. But by the time they got into the third and fourth quarter, those drum cage linemen were just squashing the opponents, and the running backs were running all over the field. They stick to the game plan because they know that in the long run, they're going to wear those guys out. God doesn't look at our situation today and try and figure out what am I going to do to help this person get through the week. His plan is how to get you from here to eternity. He wants to get you through this week, through next week, through the week after that, through next month, through next year, up until the time the trumpet sounds. He's got a long-term plan for you and me. We have to stick to the game plan. Keep doing what the Word says. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep witnessing. Keep teaching Bible studies. Keep reaching out to people. Keep coming to church. Keep encouraging our brother. Keep helping one another. Keep being there when we need to be there. That's how we're going to make it. Stick to the game plan. Hallelujah. The Israelites, they sent their spies into the promised land, and 10 of them came back and said, we look like grasshoppers before them in our own eyes. Think about that. It's not that those guys told us we were grasshoppers. They said, we think of ourselves as grasshoppers when we compare ourselves to them. Don't compare yourself. We can't compare ourselves to anything but God's will in our lives. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I in the place that I should be? Am I involved in ministry the way God wants me to be involved in ministry? Am I obeying the word of the Lord? Praise God. Have I prayed today? Have I supported anyone else in their walk with God? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Haggai 2:4. God again speaks to Israel. Even so, take heart, Zerubbabel, decrees the Lord. Take heart, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And take heart, all you citizens of the land, decrees the Lord. And begin to work, for I am with you, decrees the Lord of the heaven's armies. Everyone say, I am with you. Do not fear, because I made a promise to your ancestors when they left Egypt. And my spirit even now testifies to you. Moreover, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies has said. In just a little while, say a little while, in just a little while, I will once again shake the sky and the earth, the sea and the dry ground. I will also shake up all the nations, and they will offer their treasures. Then I will fill this temple with glory. So the Lord of heaven's army has said, the silver and the gold will be mine, decrees the Lord of heaven's army. The future splendor of this temple will be greater than that of the former times. The Lord of the heaven's armies has declared, and this in this place I will give peace, decrees the Lord of heaven's armies. Praise God. Israel was disheartened. They thought they weren't making any progress. They weren't getting anywhere. But when they turned to see what the Lord had to say, he said, I'm with you. Just a little while. How many times have we come this close to seeing the promises of God fulfilled in our lives and given up and walked away? About 2 months later, they're still not seeing the progress that they want. Haggai 2:15, now therefore reflect carefully on the recent past. Before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. He said, now remember what it was like before you answered my call. From that time when one came expecting a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When one came the wine vat to draw out 50 measures from it, there were only 20. Remember how bad it was? Remember how bad it was before you knew the Lord? Remember how bad it was when you were in the world? I struck all the products of your labor with blight, disease, and hail, and yet you brought nothing to me, says the Lord. Think carefully about the past from today, this day, today, God said. The 24th day of the ninth month to the work on the temple of the Lord, to the day work on the temple of the Lord was resumed. Think about it. The seed is still in the storehouse, isn't it? And the vine, fig tree, pomegranate, and olive tree have not produced. You haven't seen it. Nevertheless, God said, from this day forward, today, I will bless you. Paul said it like this. Weary not in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Stick to the playbook. Follow God's word. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep witnessing. Keep teaching. Keep training. Keep learning. Keep loving. Keep caring. Super Bowl 31, the day of the game, Brett Favre was in his motel room. He was watching replays of Super Bowl 24. And I know this is a, just follow me. He was watching replays of Super Bowl 24, which I'm sure some men in the audience know was the San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos. And the broadcast showed Joe Montana making an audible at the line of scrimmage. And the play he called at the line of scrimmage was called Razor 59. Montana took the snap from center, dropped back, and threw a pass to Jerry Rice, who was wide open behind the defense, and he ran in for a touchdown. And they were interviewing Brett Favre after years later, and he said, I was sitting in the motel room, and I watched that game over and over again. He just kept replaying it, and he said, that audible really got me, because our offense was based on what the 49ers had for their offense, he said. And he thought that it was just amazing that Joe Montana was able to make that call at the line and score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So when game time came, Favre was ready to play, and he got into the game. And there in the first quarter, he got up to the line of scrimmage after having called Mike Holmgren's play for that play. And he looked, and he said, I saw the same defense that the Broncos had when Montana called that Razor 59. So I took a chance, and I called a Razor 59. And he took the snap, dropped back, and Andre Rison broke clear, just like Jerry Rice, and Favre threw the first touchdown of the game, and from that point forward, the Packers were ahead the rest of the time. Sometimes God prepares us. Sometimes God gives us what we need in advance. He gives us a word so that when, if we're not paying attention, if we're not reading the Bible, if we're not finding time to pray, when we run into a situation where God's calling an audible, we just might miss it. The same day that God spoke to Israel, spoke to them one more time in Haggai 2:18. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, and from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Now remember, at the beginning of this book, they said, the time is not right. It just isn't good, God. Now it's not a good time, God. Just too much going on in my life. Come back in the fall, and maybe I can get involved in ministry then. God says in verse 19, is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit, but from this day I will bless you. And again the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, and again the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of the kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Let's stand. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Praise God. Everybody say, in that day. The Bible tells us that the promises of God are yea and amen. Winter is almost over. That's the way we should feel when we get a word from the Lord. That winter is almost over because the Lord has given me a promise. I've got a word from the Lord. I can't see it. There's still snow on the ground. It's still below zero, or it's still below freezing at night. But I know winter is almost over because I have a word from the Lord. The promises of God are yea and amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we think that we're not going to really, we're not really ready to do the Lord's work until he gives us something, you know, something big to do. Like something worthy of my gifts and who I am. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? The promises of God are yea and amen. But oftentimes, the promises of God are obtained one step at a time. The word is a lamp unto my feet. That's my next step. And a light unto my path. God's promises tell us where we want to go. But his word tells us how to get there. We need to hear the voice of the Lord for the great things we want to do for him. But we also need to respond to the voice of the Lord to take the next step. Praise God. I really feel like there are some souls, some saints, some people of God here tonight that you felt like it's not time for me just yet. But God is telling us, if you'll just step out, if you'll trust me, if you'll obey my word, if you'll respond to my voice, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to fulfill the promises I've given you. Winter is almost over. Praise God. If you feel that way, or maybe you just need to renew your commitment to what you're already doing. Maybe you're weary in well-doing, but the Bible says, you will reap if you faint not. Praise God. You will reap if you faint not. Why don't you come and recommit? Why don't you come and submit to the call of God, to the will of God, to the word of God? Oh, but then I'll have to take new life classes. One step at a time. One step at a time. Oh, but then I'll have to be here every Sunday morning. One step at a time. Praise God. God has a plan. God has a plan. He knows the end from the beginning. And he will never leave you and never forsake you. Praise God. Just come and say, here am I, Lord. Here I am. Whatever you need. Here I am, Lord.